Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Church Confessional, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The First Sin. I never feared the devil. Not in all my years wearing this collar, reciting prayers, or tending to the broken souls who sought salvation in whispered pleas behind the wooden veil of the confessional. Not until she came. That night, the church was empty, save for the flickering candles casting long, wavering shadows against the cold stone walls. The scent of old wood, burning wax, and faint traces of incense clung to the air like a memory of the prayers offered here before. The silence was thick, comforting in a way, a sanctuary in itself. I had spent the day ministering to the sick, blessing the troubled, and hearing the confessions of those burdened with sins they could barely speak aloud. It was always the same: men who had betrayed their wives, women who had stolen in moments of desperation, lonely souls who simply wanted to be reassured that their past did not define them. Routine. Predictable. Then I heard the door creak open. The sound should have been unremarkable, but something in the way it echoed sent an unnatural chill through me. Footsteps followed, soft, deliberate, the clicking of heels against the stone floor. I straightened my posture, adjusting the collar at my throat, and turned toward the confessional as the presence approached. A pause. Then the booth's door opened, and she slipped inside. I could not see her, only the faint silhouette through the lattice screen dividing us. A woman. A scent of expensive perfume drifted in, subtle yet intoxicating. My fingers curled around the armrests of my chair. I had heard confessions from all manner of people before, but something about her felt different. Then she spoke. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." Her voice slithered through the screen like silk, wrapping around me in a way that made my skin prickle. It was unlike any voice I had ever heard in this sacred space, sultry, almost teasing, yet smooth as honey. "It has been well, forever since my last confession." A faint, amused chuckle. I swallowed. "Confession is a sacred act of cleansing," I said, forcing my voice to remain steady. "It is never too late to seek forgiveness." "Oh, I don't know about that." A beat of silence. I could hear her breathing, slow and controlled. Then she shifted, the fabric of her clothing brushing softly against the wooden walls. "You see, Father, I don't come here seeking salvation." A pause. "A game. Then why are you here?" I asked. She sighed, as if pondering the question herself. "Maybe I just like being heard." The way she said it, it wasn't desperation. It wasn't sorrow. It was pleasure. Satisfaction. "Go on," I urged, knowing I should tread carefully, yet unable to stop myself. "You want to know my sins?" she asked. I hesitated. I had a feeling she wasn't asking for my permission. "I lie. I steal. I use people. I play with them like toys, wind them up, watch them break apart in my hands." A cold feeling settled in my stomach. "Do you feel guilt for these things?" She laughed, soft but wicked. "I don't think so. Should I?" I was gripping the arms of my chair too tightly. "Sin without repentance leads only to darkness," I told her. "And yet, you listen." She wasn't asking for forgiveness. She was taunting me. "Have you ever wanted to sin, Father?" My breath caught in my throat. "That is not the purpose of confession," I replied, my voice sharper than I intended. "No," she mused. "Then what is its purpose?" "To purge. To cleanse. What if I don't want to be cleansed? What if I want to revel in it?" Heat burned at my collar. "Sin is a burden, my child," I said, but my voice was weaker now. "Is it?" She shifted again, and the delicate scent of her perfume wrapped around me like a whisper. My pulse pounded. My mind screamed warnings, but something primal stirred beneath my skin. "You would have made a fine sinner, Father." And then, before I could reply, before I could process the weight of her words, she was gone. I sat there, frozen in place, my heart hammering against my ribs. The confessional door creaked open and shut, her footsteps fading into the night. I should have prayed. I should have recited 100 Hail Marys, begged for clarity, purged her voice from my thoughts. Instead, I found myself straining to hear her footsteps, already dreading, no, craving, her return. Chapter 2, The Temptation of Flesh. She returned the following week. I told myself I wasn't waiting for her. That the tension coiled in my chest wasn't anticipation but rather apprehension. Wariness over her presence, over the unnatural grip she seemed to have on my mind since our last encounter. And yet, when I heard the heavy church doors groan open, followed by the soft, unhurried click of her heels against the cold stone floor, my breath hitched in a way that had nothing to do with faith. I straightened in my seat inside the confessional, adjusting the stiff fabric of my robe, trying to shake the lingering unease. But the moment she stepped inside the booth, a slow exhale brushing through the lattice screen, I felt it again. That pull. That sickness. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Her voice was the same, low, rich, intoxicating. If sin had a sound, it would be her whisper. You're back, I said, instantly regretting the words. I should not have acknowledged it. Should not have let her know that I had noticed. You sound surprised, she mused. I am surprised. Why? You must have known I would return. A pause. She was right. I had known. Confession is meant for those who seek absolution, I reminded her, gripping the wooden armrest of my chair as though it could steady me. Do you seek forgiveness this time? Forgiveness? She repeated, as if rolling the word over her tongue. A long, agonizing silence stretched between us before she spoke again. No, she admitted softly. I don't think I do. I closed my eyes briefly. Then why are you here? Because I want you to hear me, Father. The way she said it made my stomach twist. Do you enjoy hearing me? I inhaled sharply. This is not about me. No. Then why haven't you told me to leave? The question slithered into my mind like a poison. What are your sins this week? I asked instead, steering the conversation back into safer waters, though I already knew there was no safety here. Oh, Father, she sighed. You should be careful what you ask. I heard the shift of fabric, the slow, deliberate way she adjusted her posture. I've done terrible things. Speak them. I've lied. To whom? To everyone. To lovers. To men who thought they meant something to me. To women who called me friend. To family who believed I cared. Why? She exhaled, a sound of pure amusement. Because it's so easy, Father. People want to believe. They want to be fooled. They crave the illusion more than the truth. A deep, unsettling cold settled in my bones. Do you regret it? No. Do you feel remorse? No. Her voice was like velvet, wrapping itself around my resolve, strangling it inch by inch. I stole something, too. What? A man's trust. His love. His money. His sanity. He gave it all so willingly, and I took every last piece. I swallowed against the dryness in my throat. You speak of these things with no shame. Because I feel no shame, Father. And you know what's worse? I didn't answer. I couldn't. I enjoyed it. A slow, deliberate confession. Tell me, Father, she murmured. Do you ever feel lonely? The question caught me off guard. Loneliness is a burden we all bear, I answered cautiously. Even you. Even me. A quiet laugh. Then you understand. Understand what? Why I do it. Why I take from them. Why I use them. It's not just for pleasure, Father. It's because I hate that empty feeling. I despise it. So I fill it however I can, with whatever I can. And when I'm done with them, when they have nothing left to give me. She let the sentence hang, as if waiting for me to complete it in my mind. I gripped the wooden armrest tighter. You discard them, I said, barely above a whisper. Exactly. Silence. The dim candlelight outside the confessional flickered, the shadows shifting against the stone walls as if the very church itself recoiled from her words. Do you fear me, Father? I should have said yes. I should have cast her out, told her never to return, told her that her soul was in danger, that she was walking willingly toward damnation. But I didn't. Instead, I sat there in suffocating silence. And that was answer enough. Her soft, knowing chuckle sent a shiver down my spine. I think you like hearing my voice, Father. This is not about me, I said again, though this time, my voice lacked conviction. Then why haven't you stopped me? A beat of silence. Because you want to hear more. I opened my mouth to refute it, to deny her claim. But I found that I could not. Maybe you and I are not so different, she whispered, her voice thick with unspoken promise. That is blasphemy, I snapped, harsher than I intended. She didn't flinch. Is it? Her voice curled around me, filling every corner of the dark confessional. Tell me, Father, do you ever think about a woman's touch? The air between us thickened. Do you ever dream of it? My jaw clenched. Enough, I said, my voice dangerously unsteady. She hummed, amused. I don't think it is. Another shift of fabric. Another slow exhale. I think you're curious. I think you wonder. I think late at night, when you're lying alone, you hear my voice and wonder what my lips would feel like if I whispered my sins against your skin instead of this screen. The confessional felt too small. The walls seemed to close in around me. I could not breathe. Good night, Father. Then she was gone. And I sat there in the dark, my body betraying me in ways I could never confess. Chapter 3. The Breaking of Vows. The night she asked me to meet her in person, I knew I should have refused. I told myself it was a test, one placed before me by either God or the devil, though I could no longer tell the difference between the two. She had spent weeks unraveling me, piece by piece, her voice dripping into my mind like a slow, insidious poison. She knew what she was doing. Every word from her lips was a temptation. Every confession was a game. And I was losing. It started with a simple request. Meet me, Father. Just once. Just to talk. I knew what I should say. I knew the weight of my vows, the burden I carried, the expectations that had been placed upon me since the day I entered the priesthood. But I also knew the truth, the deeper, more shameful truth. I wanted to see her. For weeks, I had been trapped inside the darkened confessional, where all I had of her was her voice, her breath, the scent of her perfume as it clung to the air. She had haunted my thoughts, lingered in my mind long after she was gone, turning prayers into empty words and restless nights into something darker. I wanted to put a face to the voice, to see if she was as dangerous as she sounded. So I agreed. And with that one word, I sealed my fate. The hotel was a quiet, upscale place just on the edge of town. The kind of place where discretion was expected, where people checked in under false names, where the walls held secrets no one would ever dare to speak aloud. I arrived late, under the cover of darkness, my hands trembling as I pushed through the doors. I shouldn't have come. Every step I took down the long, dimly lit hallway felt heavier than the last. The walls were lined with gilded sconces, their soft glow casting flickering shadows that seemed to mock me, to whisper the sins I had yet to commit. Room 306. I stopped outside the door, stared at the numbers as if they might change, as if this moment might reverse itself and return me to the church, where I belonged. But it didn't. I knocked. The door opened almost instantly. And there she was. For the first time, I saw her, not as a faceless shadow behind a confessional screen, not as a voice lingering in the air, but as flesh and blood. And God help me, she was beautiful. She stood in the doorway, draped in a red satin dress that clung to her like sin itself. The fabric shimmered in the dim light, hugging curves that had no place in a priest's mind. Her dark hair cascaded down one shoulder in loose waves, and when she smiled, it was slow, knowing, like she could hear the battle raging inside me. I knew you'd come, she murmured. I didn't move. Didn't breathe. Are you going to stand in the hallway all night, Father? My throat was dry. I swallowed hard, forcing myself to remember who I was, what I was. This is a mistake, I said, though even as I spoke the words, I knew I didn't believe them. She stepped closer, the scent of her perfume wrapping around me, suffocating me in something intoxicating. Then leave. I could have. I should have. But I didn't. Instead, I stepped inside. The door closed with a quiet click, sealing us in. The room was elegant, bathed in the warm glow of a single lamp near the bed. A bottle of wine sat unopened on the table, two glasses waiting. A setup. You planned this, I murmured. She smirked. Of course I did. She walked past me slow, deliberate, moving like a predator who already knew her prey was too weak to run. Sit, Father. I hesitated. I shouldn't be here. And yet here you are. She gestured to the chair across from the small round table. I forced my legs to move, lowering myself onto the seat as she poured two glasses of wine. I stared at the dark red liquid as she slid one glass toward me. I don't drink, I said. That's a shame. She took a slow sip, her eyes never leaving mine. Silence stretched between us, thick with unspoken things. Tell me why you really came, she said finally. I met her gaze. To stop you, I said. She laughed. Is that what you think? I think you're dangerous. And yet, here you sit, in a hotel room with me, breaking your vows one step at a time. Her words sliced through me like a blade. I have done nothing, I said sharply. Not yet. She set her wine glass down, rising to her feet. But you will. She moved toward me, and I knew I should stand, should push past her, should run. But I didn't. She stopped in front of me, so close I could feel the heat of her body. What are you so afraid of, Father? You, I whispered. Her smile widened. You should be. Her fingers grazed my collar, trailing lightly over the stiff fabric. My pulse roared in my ears, my breath uneven. I wonder, she murmured, if you've ever truly been touched. I squeezed my eyes shut. Don't do this. Do what? Her fingers slid beneath my collar, her nails grazing my skin. Show you what you've been missing. I should have stopped her. Should have pushed her away, fled from this room, from this temptation, from her. But I didn't. She leaned in, her breath warm against my ear. One night, Father. That's all I'm offering. One moment of weakness in a lifetime of restraint. A final chance to walk away. And I didn't take it. Her lips brushed mine, and I fell. It was not gentle. It was not slow. It was sin in its purest form, burning away every ounce of resolve, leaving me undone beneath her hands, her lips, her body. I had spent my entire life preaching about temptation, about righteousness, about the perils of straying from the path. And yet, when I lay in that hotel bed hours later, the sheets tangled around our limbs, her body still warm against mine, I knew I had never truly understood sin until now. Because sin wasn't a moment of weakness. It was choice. And I had chosen her. Chapter 4, The Spiral. There is a moment, just after you have sinned, when silence feels heavier than any sermon ever could. Lying in that hotel bed, tangled in sheets that smelled of her, my body ached in ways I had never known. Every breath felt like a confession I had not yet spoken. The room was quiet, save for the faint hum of the city beyond the window, distant car horns, and the occasional murmur of voices from the hall. But it was inside me where the real noise roared. My conscience, my guilt, my shame, all battling against the pleasure that still lingered in my bones. Beside me, she stirred, stretching like a satisfied cat, her bare shoulder peeking through the mess of sheets. The curve of her spine, the way the moonlight kissed her skin, it was blasphemous how beautiful she was. She turned onto her side, her eyes gleaming in the dim light. Do you regret it, Father? Her voice was soft, teasing, but beneath it, there was something else, something wickedly triumphant. I swallowed hard, my throat dry. Yes. A slow, knowing smile spread across her lips. Liar. I sat up abruptly, running a hand over my face, trying to steady my breathing. This cannot happen again. Why not? I turned to her, disbelief thick in my voice. You know why? She propped herself up on one elbow, watching me. Tell me then. Convince me. I took vows. Vows you already broke. My jaw clenched. That doesn't mean I have to keep breaking them. She let out a soft laugh, shaking her head. Oh, Father. You think this is something you can just walk away from? I forced myself to stand, grabbing my shirt from the floor, shoving my arms through the sleeves, as if clothing myself would somehow erase what had just happened. This was a mistake, I said, but the words felt weak. Then why do you look at me like you want to do it again? I stiffened. I don't. She sat up fully, letting the sheets slip down, bearing more of herself than was necessary. She knew what she was doing. You can lie to yourself all you want, but your body tells the truth. I turned away, unable to face her. I should never have come here. But you did. Her words were a noose tightening around my neck. And you'll come again. I shook my head. No. This ends tonight. Silence. Then the rustle of sheets. The whisper of bare feet against the floor. And suddenly, she was behind me, her presence suffocating in its intimacy. You're lying to yourself, Father, she murmured, her fingers trailing lightly down my back. I flinched, stepping away as if her touch had burned me. You don't understand, I said, my voice hoarse. Oh, but I do, she countered, tilting her head. You want me. And you hate that you want me. You think it makes you weak, makes you dirty. But what if I told you it makes you more human? I turned to face her, anger flickering beneath my shame. Is that what you came here to do? To make me fall? She smirked. You fell the moment you let me in. Her words were a slap, not because they were cruel, but because they were true. She stepped closer, her fingers ghosting over the collar I had so hastily buttoned. And the best part, her lips brushed against my ear. You don't want to get up. I shoved her away, harder than I meant to. Her laughter followed me as I stormed out. I spent the following days drowning in penance. I fasted. I prayed. I kneeled until my legs were numb, whispering Hail Marys until the words felt hollow in my mouth. I confessed to God in the solitude of my chambers, but the silence that followed was not absolution. It was judgment. I could still hear her voice, still feel the heat of her skin, still smell the faint traces of her perfume, as if it had seeped into my very soul. I avoided the confessional, avoided the parishioners, avoided my own reflection. But no matter how hard I tried, I could not avoid her. She returned, as I knew she would. A week after that night, she entered the church as if she belonged there, moving down the aisle with a grace that did not belong in a house of God. I sat in my usual seat inside the confessional, the candlelight casting flickering shadows through the wooden screen. And then she was there. She did not wait for me to invite her to speak. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." My breath locked in my throat. "Say it," she whispered. "Say what?" "That you've missed me." I gripped the edge of the seat, my knuckles white. "You are playing a dangerous game," I said. She hummed, amused. "Am I?" A pause. "Or are you just afraid you'll lose?" "You do not belong here," I said, the words harder than I intended. She laughed softly. "Neither do you, Father." I exhaled sharply, pressing my fingers to my temples. "Why are you here?" "Because you want me to be." I hated her. Hated how effortlessly she read me, how easily she unraveled me, how much of myself I had already given away without even realizing it. "You are a sickness," I whispered. "And yet, you keep drinking me in." I stood abruptly, pushing the door open. The church was dim, the flickering candlelight barely illuminating her face as she stepped from the booth, her eyes dark with satisfaction. "This is the last time you come here," I told her. She smiled. "You don't believe that." She turned, walking toward the exit with slow, measured steps, her heels clicking against the stone. She stopped at the door. "See you soon, Father." Then she was gone. And I, God help me, I knew she was right. Chapter 5, The Revelation. There is no greater suffering than the weight of one's own betrayal. I had spent my life preaching about sin, warning others of the temptations that led men astray, speaking of salvation as though it were as simple as confession, repentance, and forgiveness. But now, sitting in the darkness of my chambers, the flickering candlelight casting cruel shadows against the walls, I realized how foolish I had been. Salvation was not simple. It was war. A war against the desires that clawed at your soul, against the whispers that taunted you in the night, against the echoes of your own voice pleading for mercy in the depths of your mind. And I was losing. For weeks, I had tried to rid myself of her presence. I had avoided the confessional, buried myself in scripture, drowned in my own guilt. But nothing worked. I still felt her. In the cold touch of the air against my skin at night. In the heavy silence of the church long after everyone had gone. In the way my own body betrayed me when I was alone with my thoughts. She had become my sin. And tonight, she would become my ruin. It was a stormy night when she came back. Rain pounded against the church's stained glass windows, streaking down in shimmering rivulets like tears from heaven itself. Thunder rumbled in the distance, a warning I should have heeded, a sign I should have obeyed. But when I heard the heavy doors creak open, I did not turn her away. I could not. I sat inside the confessional, my hands folded in my lap, my rosary beads digging into my palm as though they could anchor me in faith. The booth's door closed softly, enclosing us once more in the space where everything had begun. A long, stretched-out silence. Then the sound of her slow, measured breathing. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." My chest tightened. "Again." Her chuckle was soft, laced with something dangerous. "Always." A pause. "Would you like to hear what I've done this week?" "No." She hummed, as though my answer amused her. "Then why are you still here?" I did not respond. I couldn't, because I had no answer. Another beat of silence, then she exhaled, slow and measured. "I have a confession for you, Father." Something in her tone shifted. There was no teasing, no seductive lilt, only quiet certainty. "What is it?" I asked, my voice barely above a whisper. She shifted in her seat, her movements deliberate. "I've been recording us." The words didn't register at first. "What?" "Every confession. Every breath. Every moment." The air in my lungs turned to stone. "You're lying." "Am I?" There was no amusement in her voice now. Only cold, hard truth. My heart pounded against my ribs, panic flooding through me in a way I had never known. "Why?" I asked, though I already knew the answer. "Because now, Father," she murmured, "I own you." The walls of the confessional seemed to close in around me. The weight of my mistakes crashed down all at once, suffocating, unbearable. What do you want? Oh, father, she sighed, as if she were disappointed in me. I thought you were smarter than that. I gritted my teeth, my hands shaking. You planned this from the beginning. Of course I did. My stomach twisted. Was any of it real? She was silent for a moment. Then she leaned in, her breath ghosting through the lattice screen. Does it matter? Something inside me snapped. I surged to my feet, pushing open the confessional door so violently that it slammed against the wall. She stepped out on the other side, and for the first time, I saw her fully, standing there in the dim glow of the flickering church candles. She looked amused. As if all of this, the destruction of my soul, my faith, my entire existence, was nothing more than a game to her. My hands clenched into fists. What do you want from me? I demanded. She tilted her head, considering me. Obedience. A cruel smile. Loyalty. She took a step forward, closing the distance between us, her eyes gleaming with something that sent a chill down my spine. And most of all, her fingers trailed up my arm, light as a whisper. I want to see just how far you'll fall. The storm outside raged on, thunder shaking the very foundation of the church. And in that moment, I knew. I had already lost. Chapter 6, The Chains of Sin. Control. It was a word I had once believed in. Control over my faith. Control over my desires. Control over the choices that shaped my life. But I had none of it now. She owned me. From the moment she uttered those damning words, I've been recording us. The world I had built, the one I had sacrificed everything for, crumbled beneath me. I had spent my life in service to God, but I had surrendered my soul to her. And now she held the chains. The fall of a priest. The first time she called, I nearly let the phone ring until it stopped. Nearly. But I picked up, because she knew I would. Hello, father, she purred, her voice smooth and deadly. I swallowed hard, gripping the receiver as though it were a lifeline. What do you want? She sighed, feigning disappointment. That's not a very nice way to greet me. You ruined me. She laughed, soft and unbothered. Oh no, my dear father. You ruined yourself. I only helped you get there faster. I clenched my jaw so hard it ached. What do you want? I repeated. Loyalty. The word slid through the line like a blade against my throat. You have my silence, I said. That should be enough. Oh, but it isn't. Silence is expected. I want more. No. Yes. I closed my eyes. What do you want me to do? A pause. Then. Steal from the church. I nearly dropped the phone. Are you insane? I need something, father. A favor. Consider it a penance. I will not. You will. Because if you don't, I will send every recording to your superiors, to your congregation, to the newspapers. They will know everything. My blood ran cold. She was serious. How much? I whispered. 10,000. I gritted my teeth. Why? Why not? You don't even need the money, do you? No. Then what is this? She chuckled. Entertainment. I should have refused. I should have fought back. But I didn't. Because fear is stronger than righteousness. Because I was already damned. Because I had no choice. So I stole. I moved funds, altered records, and siphoned money into an anonymous account she provided. I betrayed everything I stood for, everything I had preached to others. And the worst part, it was easy. Sin had never been so effortless. And once I crossed that line, there was no turning back. The web tightens. The first theft was not the last. Once she knew she could make me do it, she came back for more. I need another favor, father. No. Oh, come now, don't be difficult. You promised that was the last time. I lied. And so it continued. Lies. Theft. Deception. Every week, she tightened the chains. Every week, I fell further into her grasp. It started with money, but it didn't stop there. She made me alter church documents. She made me deceive my own congregation. She made me lie to those who trusted me. I want you to approve a wedding, she said one evening, her voice dripping with amusement. What? There's a couple. They want to be married in the church. The problem? One of them is already married. You can't be serious. Oh, but I am. That is not possible. It's sacrilege. So was what we did in that hotel room. And yet here we are. I wanted to scream. To tear at my skin, to claw the sin from my very soul. But I didn't, because I knew what she would do. So I officiated the wedding. I stood before the altar, before the very cross I had vowed to serve, and I lied in the name of God. And when it was over, when the happy couple walked down the aisle with smiles on their faces, she was there, standing in the back of the church, watching me with those knowing eyes. And I hated her. But I hated myself more. The last test. She came to me late one night, slipping into the rectory, as if she owned it. She closed the door behind her, locking it with a soft click. "I have one final request, Father." I sat at my desk, head in my hands, the weight of my sins crushing me. "No more," I murmured. She tilted her head. "No. No. I can't. I have nothing left to give." She approached slowly, the scent of her perfume wrapping around me like a noose. "Oh, but you do." She leaned down, whispering in my ear. "I want you to kill someone for me." I went still. My breath stopped. My mind shattered. "What? It's simple, really." She straightened, tilting her head as though this was a mere conversation, an innocent request. "A man. He's in my way. I need him gone." I shook my head, the words catching in my throat. I can't." "Yes, you can. I am not a murderer." She smiled. "Not yet." I shot to my feet, my chair scraping against the floor. "You've lost your mind." "Oh, but Father, haven't you?" She stepped closer, trailing her fingers down my chest, over my racing heart. "Look at everything you've done." Her nails pressed in slightly, as if she could reach beneath my skin and pull out the man I had once been. "You have lied." A nail traced down my stomach. "You have stolen." Her fingers brushed against my collar. "You have broken every vow you ever made." Her lips brushed my ear. "Why stop now?" A shudder racked through me. I wanted to kill her. I wanted to wrap my hands around her throat and squeeze, to end the nightmare she had become. But she was right. I was not the man I used to be. I was something worse. And that was the most terrifying part of all. Because the moment she said those words, the moment she offered me the final sin, I realized. I was considering it. Chapter 7, The Final Prayer. There is a moment, just before damnation, when the soul finds clarity. When the world slows, when the noise fades, when the weight of every sin crashes down all at once, pressing against the ribs like a coffin lid nailed shut. When you finally understand that there is no redemption, no salvation, only the inevitable fall. And I had already fallen too far to be saved. The breaking point. I could not eat. I could not sleep. I walked through the church in a daze, my robes heavy with the stench of guilt, my prayers nothing more than empty words muttered to a God who had turned his face from me. I could not blame him. I had done unspeakable things in his house. I had lied, stolen, betrayed every vow I had once held sacred. And now, she was asking me to take a life. A murderer. That is what she wanted me to become. That is what she had made me into. And the worst part, I was considering it, because I had nothing left. No purity. No honor. No faith. She had taken everything. And she was not done. Not yet. The last confession. She came again. Of course she did. She came when the night was at its darkest, slipping into the church like a shadow, her heels clicking softly against the stone, her perfume wrapping around me in a scent I had once craved and now despised. She found me in the confessional, as if it was where she had always belonged. She slid inside, closing the wooden door with a slow, deliberate creak, settling into her seat behind the lattice screen. I could see the faint outline of her face through the carved wood, the lips I had kissed, the mouth that had ruined me. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." My fingers dug into my thighs. "Say it, Father," she whispered. I did not answer. "Say that you forgive me." My pulse pounded in my ears. "Say it." I opened my mouth, but the words would not come. She laughed softly. "Ah, but you can't, can you?" Silence stretched between us, thick, suffocating. "Tell me something, Father," she murmured. "When was the last time you actually felt like a man of God?" I swallowed hard. "Do you even remember?" "Yes. I remembered. I remembered the man I used to be. The man who had once believed in the power of faith, in the sanctity of his calling, in the purity of his purpose. That man was dead now. She had killed him. And I had helped bury the body. I will not do it," I said at last. She sighed a slow, disappointed sound. "No. No. Are you sure?" She reached into her bag. I heard the rustle of paper, the quiet click of a recording device being turned on. Then, my own voice filled the confessional. "Oh God, yes, yes." My stomach twisted violently. The sound of my own sin playing back at me, raw and unfiltered, was worse than any hell I could have imagined. "You have no idea how much I own you, Father," she whispered. I gritted my teeth. "I will not kill for you. Then I will destroy you." I exhaled slowly. "Then destroy me." For the first time, she hesitated. I heard the slight hitch in her breath, the smallest shift of uncertainty. And I realized something. She had never expected me to fight back. She had built her power on my fear, on my submission. And now, I was refusing to bow. She was silent for a long time. Then she sighed. Such a waste. She stood, stepping out of the confessional, her heels echoing through the empty church. I closed my eyes. This was it. Tomorrow, my life would end. Not in death, but in ruin. She would release the recordings. My congregation would turn on me. The church would cast me out. The world would know what I had done. Everything I had built, everything I had sacrificed, would be stripped away. But I would not kill for her. That was the one sin I would not commit. The final prayer. I stayed in the church long after she had gone. I sat before the altar, staring at the crucifix above me. I tried to pray, but no words would come. What was there to say? I had forsaken God. And in return, God had forsaken me. I had nothing left. No faith. No hope. No future. I had lost. I reached into my robe. Cold metal met my palm. My father's gun. A relic from a past life. A life before the priesthood, before the collar, before all of this. I had always kept it locked away. A reminder of the violence I had turned from. Now, it was the only thing I had left. I ran my fingers over the barrel, feeling the weight of it. A thought settled in my mind. A dark, terrible thought. A thought that, for the first time in months, felt right. I stood, gripping the gun tightly, my pulse eerily calm. I knew what I had to do. The end of her.